Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Want to inform you of a course that I will be teaching in Canada in Alder Grove at the Reformed Bible College. You can access and find out more about that at rbcollege.com. You can register for that course. It'll be 12 weeks. We will study together the Gospel of John. So if you have gotten a taste of that over Abounding Grace Radio, we will unpack that with great detail and spend some real time studying there beginning at January 3rd. 7:30 p.m. at the Alder Grove Canadian Reformed Church. So again, that's rbcollege.com. Would love to get to know you. Please sign up and register for the course. Well, we are studying John chapter 6, and we're closing our study today, or this week on Abounding Grace, of this wonderful chapter, but a powerful chapter, an exposing chapter. Jesus has fed the 5,000. They have missed what it's all about. They have only done what the modern signs and wonders people have done. They have been just obsessed with physical healing and physical wellness and these sort of things. And they don't recognize, they don't see that Jesus is speaking spiritual words. Jesus is after the raising of men's souls for life. The resurrection of the body, which is very important, will happen on the last day. Jesus says that here, but for now, he's in the business of forgiving sins. That's our great need. It's not. Our great need is not all the other things. Our great need is that. They've missed it. And they had seen him, he says here, and they didn't believe. And all of it had been set off in verse 41 of John 6 when they complained because he said, "I am the bread which comes down from heaven." And remember what began to happen at this point. Everything escalates. They started a whole pattern here. It starts off with, in verse 41, of complaining, and then as Jesus steps it up to quarreling, and then to departing. That's always a pattern you see in the life of the church, sadly. People who begin with complaining, then they quarrel, and then they depart. Well, that happened to Jesus. And the interesting thing here is that each response to his teaching, he steps it up further. He doesn't do what pastors do today. You know, the common pressure is just bring it down. You know, put the cookies where the kids can get them. Don't take it up. Don't use anything that's hard, that would offend, that's difficult to understand. Jesus does the exact opposite of that whole mentality. They start complaining. Jesus steps it up, his teaching, so as to purposely offend. And after they murmur, he says, "The bread is my flesh that I give for the life of the world." And then you read in verse 52, they break out in a fight. They're quarreling. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And then he says, "If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have life. You won't live." Now they're ready to depart. So we've seen the progression from complaining to fighting to departure. Why does it have to be that way? Why does doctrine have to divide? Remember, Jesus said that I didn't come to bring peace, but sword between, you know, family members. Well, the sad reality is that when we look at John 6 from the heavenly perspective, what you have are a bunch of unregenerate followers of Jesus Christ, unchanged, who are not born again. And remember what this text is showing us. The main point is to show our total inability to come to Christ. We can't come. We don't want him. It's not that anyone is saying, "Oh, I just wish I could come." They don't want to come. They don't want to be filled with him. The power of sin is too strong. The sway is too strong over their lives. As Paul says in Romans 6, they are slaves of unrighteousness. They're not neutral. This is not, as some pastors say, just determinism. I hear that a lot. That's not, they miss the point when they go that direction. The fact is because of the fall, we are totally rendered unable to come. And without his sovereign power, we won't come. So that is the point of this text. His sovereignty, his salvation is something that must happen for us to come. If that weren't the case, no one would. And why does Jesus want this proclaimed? Why does he want this proclaimed, this sad reality of so many in John 6 who say they believe and have not come? Well, dear radio listener, I believe right now there are those driving, there are those in their homes who are really thirsty sinners. I believe that right now there are those listening. If there's any comparison to what we've studied in John, there are some who have not yet come. They're listening. I believe there are some like Nicodemus who are real strong religionists. You know, they're deeply tied to their traditions and their laws that they beat everyone over the head with, and they do not know what the filled life is. I believe that there are some listening like the woman at the well who are caught in some awful pattern of sin, and they refuse to see it. The pattern only grows worse. Jesus is confronting these kind of people today. He is saying, I offer living water. I believe there are some like those in the pool of Bethesda in John 5 who only lived to be made physically well. They've been suffering sickness for a long time, and they only exist. They only can just want that physical remedy. They live to get it, whether it's homeopath or the homeopathic stuff or whatever. Jesus is saying, I have the power not only to heal your body, but your souls. He's saying to all of us, don't live for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. Now, listener, that kind of direct confrontation on our lives that I just did, it's going to draw out a response. That's what Jesus is doing here in John 6. You know why? Because it touches the deep desire of our hearts. And the power of human desire is so strong over us. Think about it. If there is a desire in your heart that is contrary to what Jesus is calling us to see here, you've got one of two ways to go. Now remember, I said this last week. You know, people always say, just listen to your heart. Follow your heart. Do what your heart tells you. You know what Jesus says, right? Don't do that. Your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? There are desires there that are totally contrary to what Jesus is calling you to see here. And you're going to go one of two ways when that's exposed in your life. I mean, you've seen this. When someone has somebody who loves them and they expose a path that is wrong for them, what do? They get intensely mad. Don't judge me. Hear it all the time, right? It angers, it strikes, it confronts, because we're being called to come and embrace Christ as the most satisfying, fulfilling, meaningful purpose of our existence. And what's going to happen then is that those sinful desires of our hearts, those natural desires of our hearts that are desperately wicked, are going to have to come down. You're going to have to stop. You're going to have to repent. And oh, that's painful. Not something we want to do. So think about it, you know, how many people will move in with someone and they're not married to, and then they'll justify it. Someone says that's wrong, and then that relationship's over because you've confronted it. This is exactly the kind of stuff Jesus is doing here in John 6. And he's saying, you're not satisfied with any of that. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will live. That means any kind of superficial following that does not truly taste and digest him in the soul is being awfully exposed in John 6. And that is what happened that day to drive away thousands of people, thousands of followers of Jesus Christ. After Jesus said all of these things, I want you to think about what happens here. After he said all these things, we read in verse 60, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Who can understand? Let me break that down because there are some fascinating things that the English does not totally capture in your translations. From the Greek, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is hard. It's not really hard. It means unpleasant or intolerable. Who can listen to it? Put it another way, this is awful. I get no comfort out of this. Think of what they're hearing. These are Jews. Unless apart from the law, you eat and drink this man who claims to be God, you're not going to live. Look, that's totally unacceptable teaching. And they're not going to hear it. It's the Greek word akouo. Who can hear this? Who can listen to this? Now, Jesus is going to agree with that. You can't. We can't hear that. He says that in verse 63. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. See what he's saying? You don't have the ability to understand this. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He can't know them because he's spiritually discerned. Christ is speaking from heaven. He's speaking spiritual words. He's speaking in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And the natural man does not have the ability to comprehend it. You know, I had a friend who was a Harvard grad. He was a physicist. And you know what he always said to me? I could understand everything. I was at the top of my class at Harvard. And he said, the one thing I could never grasp was the Bible. And it drove me nuts, angered me. Well, makes sense. These are words from heaven. Natural man can't understand them. That's exactly their complaint. We can't accept this teaching. As I listen to their response, I want to get into their minds a bit. I believe they understood what Jesus was saying, was that he was alone. He alone must become the purpose for their existence. That they live in him, they drink him, everything about life. They get up in the morning. He is to be their strength, their passions in life, their pursuits. To a Jewish audience, this just overturned their whole system of what they concocted about how they were right with God. You see how this just strikes? See how this just strikes at the heart of human want? Let me try to give us a sense of this in the American context. What's the pursuit of people in this life? What is our Declaration of Independence? That we all have the right to the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. That's ultimately the goal of every human being in whatever age he lives in. What is that for us in America? It means to be autonomous, means to be entrepreneurs, means to be hardworking for what? A certain kind of lifestyle that has as its ultimate goal a total retirement when I can finally do and pursue and determine what I believe will bring me happiness, whatever my narcissistic and hedonistic heart wants. Imagine Americans are there. Jesus says to Americans today, unless you are completely satisfied with my life, unless the taste buds of your soul really digest me, unless you eat and drink my flesh and blood and all other satisfactions take a back seat, you'll never live. You see how offensive that message is? Many walked away in Jesus' day. And today, many aren't walking away because they're not pressed with that kind of message. But you see, it's the kind of message we need because it's driving us away from our carnal wants and desires, and it's casting us upon the only one who can indeed and truly satisfy the longing of sinful hearts. May Christ today be your satisfaction. Oh, come to Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service. 6 p.m. are the worship service times. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.